The Plain Talking Podcast, presented by Gethin Russell Jones.
Hello and welcome to this new episode of Plain Talking. In this edition, we'll hear about a new book recently published by a regular contributor to this podcast and also to the Plain Truth magazine. After that, we're going to South Wales to learn about a pioneering church-based clothes bank. Brother David Jardine is well known for his teaching on prayer, and he's just published a book on that very subject. I recently caught up with David to find out more. Well, welcome to you, David.
Thank you very much, Gethin.
And David, I gather that you have recently brought out a book called Healing Words.
That's right. Yes, believe it or not, that's the third book that I have written. I wrote two books during the time that I was chaplain of Crumlin Road Prison from 1975 to 1985. One was partially poems that were written by men, and then at the end of my 10 years, I wrote another book, which was called Belfast's Bleak House. But in recent years, people were saying to me, you know, you should write a book. You've been around so many places. You have such an experience of life. Would you not write a book? And I almost always said no. Mm. That what I believe, most of it is down in leaflets or in CDs. And it wouldn't be a good use of whatever time I have left on earth, really, to do all the research that it would take for writing a book. But then the team of Divine Healing Ministries took it out of my hands. And during the course of the summer, they put together all of the leaflets that I'd written over the last 30 years and made it into a book. And whenever I looked at it, I said, look, this doesn't look too bad. I think I can run with this okay. So that's how the book came into being.
So David, the title is Healing Words. It sounds like it's a kind of a compilation of a lifetime's worth of teaching by the sounds of things.
Yes, it is actually. And there are two themes, prayer and healing. When I joined the Society of St. Francis, a religious community in the Anglican Church, in September 1973, I went into a way of life that included 3 hours of prayer and worship every day. So I sometimes say I may not be very good at prayer, but I can't complain that the Lord didn't give me an opportunity to practice it. And I do feel as well that there is a great need for teaching in the church today. I know that's true in Ireland. I don't know if it's the same as that in Wales and England and Scotland, but a great need for teaching, not by people who have read every book on prayer, but people who have spent much time with God in prayer and speak out of the relationship that has developed because of that.
And so your book is your experience and that which you have learned from hours and hours and hours.
That's right.
Possibly weeks and months spent in prayer.
It might even, if you consider 3 hours every day, surely now just on the age of 83 years of age, it must go into years actually. So it must spent in prayer. What I have included in the book are types of prayer, ways of approaching God that you don't hear people talking about a great deal, not even preachers in the pulpit, and certainly not telling people how to do it. This is a practical book. This tells people how to forgive, how to surrender difficulties to the Lord, how to get the gift of listening to the Lord, how to practice the presence of God. It is very much a practical book.
So David, if I were to put you on the spot, which is very unfair of me, but to ask you to kind of distill everything you've written and everything you understand, if the question were to be, so what is prayer to you and how do you do it? How would you answer that, David?
I think that prayer, some people say prayer is communicating with God, and that communicating with God involves talking, but it also involves listening. Now, I think if I were to ask any group of Christians, you know, are you good at talking to God? I think most people would say they're not too bad at that. But if I ask the same group, are you good at listening to God? I think that not so many people would be confident about their ability to do that. But, you know, John Wimber, who was the founder of the Vineyard movement in America, and there are now Vineyard churches all over the world. John said that in 1963, when he was converted, he found in Jesus a friend to whom he could talk about absolutely anything. I think that's a wonderful phrase, Gethin, making Jesus a friend to whom we can talk about absolutely anything.
And that suggests, David, a kind of a deep intimacy in what prayer is. It's a coming together of two, it sounds like two friends.
Absolutely. He's Lord of our lives, but he's also our best friend. And I think that just talking naturally to him, the way we would talk to somebody else, is a very good way in which to approach God. But I think one of the things that helped me to grow in my relationship with God was in 1982, and that's 43 years ago, I started to fast for the first time. And one of the things that I was fasting and praying for was my own spiritual life. And a couple of months after that, God gave me an ability to listen to him in a way that I had never known before. Up until then, I could only hear him speak in the big demands that he was making upon me, the call to the ministry, the call to the Society of St. Francis. But now he gave me an ability to listen to him, that if I needed guidance for a decision, he would give it to me. If I was a bit discouraged, he would give me reassurance. Sometimes he just wanted to tell me that he loved me. It was a new relationship, and I think it really must have transformed my life. Up until then, the way that I ran my ministry was I thought up good ideas, yeah, and I went and put those into practice. Now, there's no harm in that, but since he gave me an ability to listen to him, I listen to hear what his good ideas are, and then I try to put those into practice.
So, David, I'm guessing in terms of your own inspiration, in terms of prayer, I would imagine you would look to the Bible and you would look to Jesus. But I'm beyond those influences. Who have been the people, both, I guess, both living and no longer with us, who've inspired you in terms of your experience of prayer?
Oh, I think the Society of St. Francis would really have to be top of the list, that still to this day, they give me an opportunity to spend 3 hours every day in prayer and worship. Now, I live on my own now, so I don't have the community to join with me, but the life of prayer is so instilled in me, Gethin, then that's not a problem. Prayer for me is almost as natural as breathing. But there was another man who taught me the power of prayer, and this was the Reverend Cecil Kerr. Cecil's dead about 15 years now, but he was the founder of the Christian Renewal Centre in a place called Rust River in County Down, a beautiful place. It was a spiritual powerhouse. And in 1980, I invited Cecil to come in and conduct a special Sunday afternoon service in Crumlin Road Prison. It didn't actually go as well as planned. It was to be really a service of Christian music, and a lot of the people who were supposed to provide that hadn't been security cleared and weren't able to get in. The only part of the service that was really up to a high standard was Cecil's own preaching. But I can honestly say that that was probably the most powerful service that I took part in during my 10 years in Crumlin Road Prison. And Cecil himself told us the answer at the end of the service. He said that while we were meeting in Crumlin Road, their community were meeting down in Rust River to pray for us at that very time. And their prayer partners, who numbered hundreds if not thousands throughout the world, had also been alerted to prayer. And I just sat back without Cecil saying a single word to me about the power of prayer. I sat back and said, our performance was very, very imperfect. But people prayed and God turned it into an outstanding service. There were men converted that day who are still involved in full-time Christian work today. So when I saw the power of prayer, then I started to organize people to pray over all of the things, the speaking engagements, broadcasts, whatever, you know, that I was doing. That made an enormous difference to me, Gethin, an enormous difference.
And so that the idea that if groups of people pray persistently,
yes,
that things change?
Oh, there's absolutely no question about it. You know, up until the end of 2017, I was director of Divine Healing Ministries for about 25 years. So I had a natural prayer base there. There were people prayed for me and all the engagements that I was doing. But since then, I didn't have that group of people. But recently, I've gone back again to asking people to pray for me. For instance, on Monday night past the 1st of December, we launched this book, Healing Words, in St. Anne's Cathedral in Belfast. Now, I knew there was going to be a crowd there, so I wanted to put my best foot forward, and I organized some people specifically to pray, not just for the service, but for me preaching. It was the freest I felt in my spirit, Gethin, for a very long time. So I did the same last night for the healing service on the Thursday night in St. Patrick's Church in East Belfast, got some people to pray. Again, a great freedom actually in my spirit. So I'm back into again, organizing people to pray for me while I'm actually doing an engagement.
Wow, that sounds absolutely extraordinary. What I'd like to ask you at least, David, because I've heard you speak a number of times now about the process of praying. Yes. By which I mean, I've heard you say, when it comes to the prayer for healing,
yes,
that you will often, someone will come to you asking for prayer, and you will kind of invite them to obviously name the thing that they want prayer for. And then you will say things like, once you prayed, you leave it with the Lord, don't keep on going back to it. And then you'll say something like, once you've prayed in faith, believe that the Lord is already doing it, and so start giving him thanks for that.
That's right. Yes.
That sounds quite, you know, very foundational to how you pray for healing, David.
There's a man whose books I've read a lot of, Derek Prince. Now, Derek is dead for almost 25 years now, but I'd recommend those books to anybody, and especially a book called God's Word Heals. He talks about how whenever he met his second wife, she was ill with a bad back. In fact, she was bedridden. Derek prayed for her healing. But then he said to her, now I want you to thank God by faith that God is responding to that prayer and that he's bringing healing. He said it took a month or two, but she was completely healed from that back complaint. I think that whenever we pray, we don't need to always go back and just repeat the same requests again and again. Jesus said, if you ask for anything in my name, I will give it to you. Well, let's take him at his word. I believe when we pray for people who are sick, he wants us to be well, actually. So whenever we pray, bring the request before him, then start to praise him and thank him that he's responding, and keep that up. Derek Prince says, if you're prayed for, that starts the healing process, but you then have to exercise your faith to bring it completely to fruition.
And I guess, David, because there may be people listening to this who may want to say to you or ask the question, well, David, there have been times in my life when I've prayed in faith, prayed earnestly, and nothing has changed, or it got worse. And now I feel it's undermined my faith. I feel embittered towards God. I've lost my appetite for prayer. Well, I mean, what would be your counsel to people for whom prayers has not been a happy or positive experience?
Well, I think it is fair to say we have all met many people who have been prayed for and who have not received the full physical healing that they're looking for. In those cases, I sometimes say, now look, did prayer make a difference in any other area? Did it give you a peace instead of anxiety? And did it help you in your relationship with God? Did it give you hope in your heart that you are still going to be healed? Maybe even in some cases I've seen relationships healed whenever a person was prayed for. I look for other areas where God may have touched the person, even if he didn't bring that physical healing into them. But I would also say, I had a hip operation 4.5 years ago. I can honestly say I had a tremendous number of setbacks. And every time that I said I was doing well, I think I'm on the home straight now, It was almost as if Satan was standing round the corner and he heard me, and he threw another obstacle in my way. But 4.5 years down the line, I can honestly say I have recovered fully from that hip operation. Now, I had to be patient. God always assured me that he was going to heal me. And I never really, I held on to that promise that he gave me. So I just say, even if it takes a long time, don't give up hope that God can still bring healing.
And David, in terms of what you would hope to be the impact of this book, I mean, it may be a foolish question, but what would you hope to be the result of people buying this book?
I think it's a very wise question, actually. If at the end of the day, people were able to say to me that this book has helped them in their prayer life and they're praying more effectively, I think that would be a wonderful result. Like, you know, when was the last time, Gethin, that you heard somebody tell you from the pulpit how to forgive? You know, preachers will certainly tell us quite rightly that we have to forgive. We have no choice, but don't tell how to do it. Well, in this book here, I tell people how to do it. As soon as somebody upsets me, I start to bless them in the name of Jesus, and I keep it up for as long as it takes. It's all based on Luke chapter 6. Love your enemies, do good to those who treat you badly, bless those who curse you. When was the last time somebody told you how to cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you? He will never let the righteous perish. That's Psalm 55, verse 22. How to give difficulties to the Lord, to let go of them and to leave them with him. Or when was the last time somebody taught you how to actually listen to God? I say, if you want to get the gift of being able to listen to God, I can only quote the words of Jesus, who said, ask and you will receive. He has many wonderful things that he wants to say to you, but ask him to give you that gift. So there's a number of ways of approaching God that I describe in this book here, and hopefully people will be able to get latched onto them, and it will really help them to grow in their relationship with God and to pray more effectively.
Well, David, thank you for joining us today.
And thank you very much, Jonathan.
Just to remind everybody that the book is called Healing Words by Brother David Jardine, and I guess it's available in all good bookstores, David.
Well, it's available in the Faith Mission bookshops over here, but I think if you just go onto the computer, you'll probably find directions there how to get it. You'll get it from the Office of Divine Healing Ministries in Belfast.
The Reverend Owen Griffiths is the minister for the South East Wales Presbytery of the Presbyterian Church of Wales. 12 months ago, Owen and his team launched Gobaith Clothing, Gobaith being the Welsh word for hope. It's a ministry where pre-loved clothes are donated freely to people in need. I spoke to Owen during a visit to a new church called Capella Bont in Pontypridd, and I asked him how it's going.
A year ago, we were setting things up, and we launched it officially in May this year. And since then, in the last 6 months, and under the leadership of Linda Boyce, Gobaith Clothing has helped over 260 people.
Wow. So when they say 260 people, I guess we're talking, well, men, women, children.
Yes.
Of course. And we're talking about, I'm guessing, people for whom wearing clothes or choosing clothes is not straightforward, because it could be a choice between what I give my child to wear, or can I put food on their plate later on?
Yes. And of course, you know, facing a choice like that, people are going to naturally choose to put food on the table. And we are encountering people who make those choices on a daily basis. And so by giving clothes, we're hopefully reducing the stress, the enormous stress levels that come with living in poverty. Hopefully we are, in some small way, addressing the shame that comes with poverty, particularly if we give clothes that are of a really good quality. clothes that people will feel proud to wear. I think that's very, very important. But what we found over the last 6 months, actually, is that the model that we'd anticipated that this work would take, the form that it would take, has changed. So the idea originally was that people would come to Bethel Beaufort from all over Blaenau Gwent and choose clothes for themselves. And we have had people contacting us and clothes going out to Bethel Beaufort. But really what we've noticed is that a different model has been very fruitful. And this is one where we set up pop-up events across Southeast Wales. And so we've had a number of pop-up events in places, you know, in Newport, in Cardiff, and we had one recently here in Capel y Bont. And that's really been where the traction has come for this work over the last few months.
And there seems to be quite a connection between Gwaed Clothing now and working with refugees or clothing refugee families.
Yes.
And there was an event here, I gather, Owen, just recently.
That's right. I mean, and this connection, it started really with creating a partnership with Oasis Refugee Centre in Splock in Cardiff. And Linda arranged for two pop-up events to take place there. We helped probably around about 150 people in those two events, or a little bit less than that. And then on the back of that, here in Capel y Bont, we thought, well, you know, we were aware that there were refugees, a large number of refugees in the Pontypridd area, and scattered throughout Rhondda Cynon Taf. So we thought that this would be a good ministry, a good way for us to show Christ's love to the two people who had fled warfare, fled persecution, and to show them a welcome to South Wales and to show them something of Christ's love. So yes, on last Saturday, we had the first of these events. We intend for them to become a regular feature of the life of Capel y Bont. And we had the first of these events last Saturday. It was very low-key, I have to say. We didn't get that many people in for the first event, but that's okay, because it was always intended to be a start of a process rather than a one-off.
So a year ago, you were launching this ministry. I remember that old chapel. It was full of clothes. It's just even more full of clothes. Even more full of clothes. But it sounds like there's been an evolution, if you like. The work has gone from there to these pop-up cafes to taking the clothes to where people actually are. And that must be quite a challenge in terms of how do you do that and alerting local people that it's happening.
Yeah.
That in itself is a major piece of work.
It is. And this is one of Linda's strengths, I think, is that she's been really, really brilliant at creating partnerships with other organizations. So I've mentioned Oasis, and that's a very fruitful partnership. In order to put on this event here in Capel y Bont, Linda created a partnership with a different organization. It's called Cities of Sanctuary. It isn't a Christian organization, and its lead here in Pontypridd area is a Muslim lady called Zaina, and it's been brilliant to work with her. In fact, it was Zaina who did the cooking for the event last Saturday. And so to build that relationship, to build these partnerships is key, I think, to putting on any successful ministry of this kind.
So if anybody's listening to this interview, Owen, and they're thinking to themselves, I've got some really good quality clothing, I've too much. I could either sell them to an organization and make money out of it, or I could give them away. And let's hope they choose to give them away to go. How do they go about that? How do they make contact?
Well, get in touch with Linda. You can find her details on Facebook. Gwaed Clothing is on Facebook. We've also got a website. You can contact Linda and either arrange to drop them off somewhere, or one of the volunteers will come and pick them up. But yes, as you say, we're interested in very good quality clothes. Please, if anybody's looking to donate, please wash them and then donate them to us. We are looking for children's clothes, men's clothes, and we're looking for shoes as well. So anything, or if indeed you haven't got any clothes to donate, but you have some money that you'd like to give to Gwaed Clothing, then that would be very, very welcome as well. Because putting these pop-up events on, it costs money. We have to hire vans and so on and so forth. And we have to buy certain items of clothes that, you know, can't be donated. So we would very much be grateful for any kind of donation.
And I guess there's quite a big connection for you between what you're doing in Gobaz Clothing and the whole Christmas narrative, if you like.
Absolutely, there is. And this is why we're doing it. And we are celebrating Christmas time. The one who was rich, yet for our sakes, became poor. The one who was the creator of the universe, yet became a baby born in a stable laid in a manger, identified with the poverty of all who suffer terribly through poverty. Not only that, but soon after he was born, Matthew tells us that he and his family had to escape and become refugees and flee to Egypt to escape Herod's murderous intentions. And so here is one who identifies with the experience of refugees, who identifies with those who have experienced hatred, those who have experienced oppression. And it's important, therefore, as a church, that we stand alongside them as well, that we show something of that love of the one who became poor, who became a refugee for us all.
Well, thank you, Owen, and happy Christmas to you.
And you, Declan, happy Christmas to you too.
Thank you. And finally, we hear again from Brother David Jardine, this time by way of an epilogue, inspired by one of New York's most famous preachers.
David Wilkerson was an American Pentecostal minister who became famous in the second half of the 20th century. He was a pastor in Pennsylvania when he felt called by God to go and minister in Brooklyn in New York City. He had been moved when reading about young men there who suffered from various addictions, were members of gangs, and everything that goes with that lifestyle. Working in Brooklyn in the 1950s, David founded Teen Challenge, a ministry that helped people to overcome their addictions. It eventually became a worldwide ministry. In the 1960s, David and two friends, John and Elizabeth Sherrill, co-authored a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. The book really described David's ministry to gangs and addicts in Brooklyn over the past 10 years. When reading about this story, one part of it really struck me. When David Wilkerson and his two co-authors received the manuscript of the book, they started to pray over it. They began at page one and prayed over every page until they came to the end. Then they started again at page one and prayed right through to the end. They kept this up right until the book was published. We could say that this book was soaked in prayer. When it was published, it was a bestseller worldwide. It sold 15 million copies. That is the power of prayer. I kept that fact in mind when in 2025, I wrote a book myself on the two themes of prayer and healing. As soon as I received the manuscript of the book, I copied what David Wilkerson had done. I prayed over every page of the manuscript, and when I had finished, I went back and prayed through it again. I'm still praying over the book and will continue for many more months yet. I have found that when I have a chance to go out and preach about the book, which is called Healing Words, I always sell a lot of copies. So I began to plan speaking engagements in churches where I was fairly well known. But I felt uneasy about this in my spirit. And very soon the Lord told me to stop this. He told me to pray that He would bring the right people to buy the book. I am doing that now, praying specifically that people who bought the book will like it and come back to buy more for their friends. That is already happening. We launched the book in St. Anne's Cathedral, Belfast, on the 1st of December, 2025. Two people bought 20 copies each, and those who were selling the book said that very few people only bought one. Most bought a number of copies. I am praying the prayer of faith that God will continue to move the book. After just 6 weeks, we have sold a couple of thousand, and I know that they will continue to move quickly. I have stopped asking God to promote the book. We have already asked him to do that, and he says if we ask for anything in his name, he will give it to us. So I am taking him at his word and praising him for the way he is encouraging people to buy it and then come back and buy more. Praising God that he is responding to our prayers is an act of faith that seems to release the power of God. We can pray this way about anything, whether it is an illness, an injury, a difficulty in our lives, an important event coming up, someone else we're concerned about, whatever. Pray the prayer of faith. Talk the matter through with the Lord. Then give it to him. Release it to him. Leave it with him. I can't emphasize that strongly enough. Leave it with him. Believe that the Lord has taken the person or difficulty or illness, is working to bring healing and restoration, and then thank him by faith for the healing he is bringing. Keep on thanking him by faith. Be patient, especially if you do not see immediate results. Keep on thanking by faith, and you will see the power of prayer work. Jesus says, whenever you pray, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Plain Talking. If you have, please subscribe to it and leave a review wherever you found it. Plain Talking is sponsored by The Plain Truth, a magazine of understanding. For more information, please visit plain-truth.org.uk. That's it for now. And so until the next podcast drops, God bless you all from all of us at Plain Talking.